Our first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 3. While the lame man who was now healed clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. You killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sin, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. As they were talking about these things, Jesus stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So last week we heard from John chapter 20 how the Lord appeared to his disciples on two occasions. The first occasion he showed his hands, his feet, his side. He breathed on them, giving them the Holy Spirit and as well the authority then to forgive or to retain sins on anyone. Then, of course, Thomas wasn't there that evening, so 8 days later, Jesus appeared a second time in their midst, showing himself to all, but especially to the doubter, Thomas, proving himself very much to be alive. Now, a week later today, for Easter 3, the third Sunday of Easter, now it seems that we're going back in time. We're going back to that first appearance, 8 days prior to when the living Lord appeared to Thomas. Back into the chaos, back into the confusion, the fear and the doubt of that weekend before they had the opportunity to touch him and to see him. From their perspective, the disciples had a terrible weekend, a chaotic, confusing weekend. Their whole world seemed to be crashing down around them. So we're going to place ourselves back into that mindset. Jesus was betrayed by one of their own, denied by one of who was supposed to be a rock-solid disciple. He was arrested and tried in a kangaroo court. He was beaten, ridiculed, sentenced to death in the most shameful public way. He's lifted up high on the cross. Scared and confused, the disciples then go into hiding. They're on lockdown, waiting for Jerusalem just to settle down a little bit, trying to process all these things that are going on, contemplating their next move, fear and doubt ruling them, forcing them to wonder, will they be crucified next? They heard a report from the women that said Jesus' body wasn't in the tomb. Mary Magdalene witnessed, she was an eyewitness to that empty tomb. She ran back to Jerusalem to tell Peter and John what she had seen. But back at the tomb, the other women stayed and they entered into the tomb and they saw two angels. One of the angels then told them, Jesus is not here. He is risen. He is alive. The angels then sent those women back to the disciples and Peter to tell them that Christ is risen and he will meet them in Galilee. The women made their way back to Jerusalem, back to John's house where Peter and John would be. In the meantime, Peter and John got the heard Mary Magdalene's report, so they take off running to the tomb to see it for themselves. On the way, they pass by the women that are looking for them, but they don't stop. They keep running. They reach the tomb, they go inside, they see it is true. The tomb is empty. Confused, chaotic, yet John believed, we're told. Then they return to Jerusalem. But Mary Magdalene, one who had followed Peter and John back to the tomb, she kind of lingered in the garden there a little bit, where an angel then appeared to her and spoke to her. And the risen Lord Jesus himself appeared to her. But when Peter and John then returned back from visiting the tomb, the other women who were waiting there for them told them about the empty tomb, and they delivered the angel's message that Jesus is alive and he will meet them in Galilee. Then the women went out to go tell the other disciples that as well. Then there are two other disciples, Clopas and another disciple, not part of the 12. They come in with their hearts still burning inside them. They come in and they say they saw Jesus and they spoke to him on the road to Emmaus. He's very much alive. Take a deep breath. That is where our text begins in Luke chapter 24. And you thought you had a chaotic morning just trying to get here by 9 o'clock. They were talking about these things is how our gospel reading begins. These things, those things that I just went kind of crazy through, all of those things. The information is just bombarding them from all sides. The disciples are trying their best to process it. Yes, they should have known, they should have trusted, they should have heard Jesus' words. But wisely, they came together to discuss these things and try to figure these things out. Well, thanks be to God, you and I, on this side of all of these things, we have these things recorded for us. We have, hopefully, have time to process these things. Hopefully significant time to sit and meditate and contemplate on all these things. At the very least, you hear about these things year after year during this Easter, Lent and Easter time. But at that time, the disciples were right in the middle of the chaos and the confusion. And it was precisely into that fearful, doubting chaos and confusion that our risen Lord Jesus comes to them. He steps into the chaos, confusion, fear, doubt, information overload, and he says to them, "Peace. Peace to you." Verse 37 says they were startled, they were frightened. They thought he was a spirit. So Jesus graciously shows them his hands and his feet. "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." Well, they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling. The risen Lord then ate with them. Into the most chaotic and confusing of times, at least according to our perspective, it's not always quite as chaotic and confusing as we like to give credit to it. But even from our perspective, the risen Lord Jesus comes to us in the most chaotic times, and he brings with him peace. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. We read in our intro it, the antiphon, which is Psalm 16, verse 11. When our living Lord comes in his presence, when he comes to the disciples and he shows them the scars of death, he showed them that he really, truly is alive. He really, truly is indeed risen. He really, truly is indeed present for them. That his all-sufficient, all-atoning, propitiatory, that's what that word means, sacrifice was accepted by the Father. The Father's wrath, just wrath, upon man's sins now has been appeased. God and man now are at peace. Peace with one another because of Christ and light of the cross. And then Jesus opens their minds to understand the scriptures so that they could see that it was always him. It was always he that those scriptures pointed to. That he always was the fulfillment of all of it. That he should suffer and the third day rise from the dead. That repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem, which of course Jesus sends his apostles out to do. And I think in opening their minds to understanding scriptures, that also including revealing to them just how he was present there, and he brought faith to the Old Testament saints. He was present, bringing peace and forgiveness, pointing to the latter fulfillment when he would come. He was giving peace to Adam and Eve, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and all of the wandering Israelites. He was present for them all, just as he would be for Thomas 8 days later, and he would be for the generations and generations of saints, believers in Christ who are gathered around his word and sacrament as they have in the past. And yes, the same risen Lord Jesus is really, truly present here for you. The risen Lord Jesus Christ comes and he steps into the seemingly most chaotic situations, and he comes and he says, "Peace." In our chaotic age of information, people rarely, if ever, take the time to just take a deep breath, reflect, and meditate on these things. We can see it in our children today, perhaps even our own, as they keep scrolling on to the next flashy thing on their phone. But they struggle then to remember what they just learned last week on a test. And many adults aren't all that different. Perhaps you and I aren't all that different. In various ways, I'm willing to bet that all of us know what chaos and confusion and information overload and fear, of course, and doubt are like. Even into the most chaotic, confusing time, our risen Lord comes and he speaks in our midst and he says, "Peace to you. Peace be with you." The same word that he used to comfort those frightened, overloaded, confused, chaotic disciples, the same word he used to speak to them, he speaks to you this morning. Peace to you. Jesus is with us. And when the risen Lord Jesus is with us, he comes with him and he brings peace, comfort, confidence, joy, and the peace that surpasses all understanding. These are found in nowhere else. These are the fruits of a life that is united and to a living Lord Jesus, connected to the living Lord Jesus. Through his word that you're hearing now, through his sacraments, as he comes and he brings his presence to you, for you, to bring you forgiveness. And these are the fruits given to us by our risen Lord Jesus, who sacrificed himself for our sins, rose triumphantly over the dead, and has ascended to the right hand of the Father, who is indeed now over all things, ruling over all things for your good. Also that he could be present for you. You have all the information you need. You have it all. You have his clear word. There is no need to be confused or doubt. There is no need to be troubled, for Christ is risen and he is present for you. On account of Christ crucified and risen, your sins are all forgiven, and you now are at peace with your heavenly Father. So take a deep breath. Step away from the constant chirping or vibrating of your phone for a little while. Turn off the TV for a little while. Read, mark, and inwardly digest these things. And enjoy, bask in the peace that you have with your Father on account of Christ crucified and risen. For a lifetime, an entire lifetime of reflection and meditation and contemplation on all these things, this will only strengthen your confidence, your certainty, your joy, and it most certainly will bring you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.